They are proud of their products, I tell you right now. And that bottle there that we get free here is probably $3 or $4 at the Travel Plaza Loves if you actually get it there. Trust me, we know. We just went with Loves was the main place that we hit. And but my goodness, they sure are proud of them. But we're thankful to have it here tonight. You know, little things. Sometimes you think about things that you're thankful for. Brother Tuck, when he was going to pray tonight, thank the Lord for the AC. And I'm thankful for AC. Hey, but there's a lot of places that we could be that don't have AC. Amen. We've got some nice padded pews here tonight, beautiful building here to worship in. Those are none of those things, by the way, are necessary for worship. But we sure do appreciate them, don't we? You know, we think about these, and sometimes I think we can even take a bottle of water for free. There's places in the world that don't have water clean enough like that. Or if they do, they have to do something for it before they take it in. You know, if we're thirsty, we go back somewhere and turn on a faucet or get a bottle of water. Aren't you glad that we're blessed in that way, in that regard? So, all right, if you got your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And I reckon this is on. Do we need to turn this one off so there's not a feedback? Put that there. Genesis chapter 12. And we'll start reading in verse 1. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Verse number 4 says, "So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." Verse number 6 says, "And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, and into the place of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Haran on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord." Verse number 9 says, "And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south." I want to preach tonight. It's been a long journey, but now the journey begins. It's been a long journey, but now the journey begins. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, to be in this place at this time, in this hour. Thank you, Lord, for the good group of people that's come out tonight. Lord, thank you, Lord, for those that no doubt are watching via live stream. Lord, those that are helping even make preparations with that. And Father, we ask you if you would just clear our minds and our hearts for the next few moments. Lord, we know that for many of us, it's already been a long week. And Lord, some had mentioned even being short-staffed at work. And Father, I know it's been long hours here at the school and long hours with many that's been working this week. And Father, we know it's been a long week. But I ask you, Lord, for the next few moments that you would open up our hearts and our minds towards the Scriptures that, God, we can use it and apply it to our lives. We do pray that if there's someone here tonight or listening that's never come to a saving knowledge of you, that you convict them of their need for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We had the young people or my children sing that song just a moment ago. It's been a long journey, but I have been blessed. And honestly, that if I could spend the whole evening really elaborating on that thought, how it's been a long journey, and how I have been blessed. Oftentimes they'll ask me, they say, "Daddy, what are you preaching on tonight and or this evening?" And most of the time I'm able to tell them, and I was kind of gathering our final thoughts. I knew what direction and that the Lord was wanting us to go in, and then that song came to our heart and our mind. But really, friends, that's the truth about every one of our lives. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you can say that it has been a long journey, even if you just got in on the journey, but you have to say that you have been blessed. Amen? If you've been saved, you have been blessed. You see, as we start to think about our journey and understand, as I usually will give an introduction, you'll find that I try to spark people's interest into what the message is going to be and give you just a little, maybe a sneak peek into where the direction that God has laid our heart. And I'll do that more and more as time goes along. But really tonight, we just come off of a long journey. I mean, literally came from Shepherdsville, Kentucky, to right here is about 1,800 miles. That's a long journey, no matter how much you travel, amen? And especially when you're stuck in a van with four kids that argue and bicker back and forth, amen? And you got, you know, laundry baskets stuffed to the window and clothes everywhere and snacks and all kinds of stuff on everywhere. Hey, sometimes you're just ready to get out of the vehicle, amen? But you know what I tell you, church? God's been good through the whole time. I mean, we went through Dallas, and when we started getting into Dallas, you know, that's Dallas Cowboys country. There's not any Cowboys fans here tonight. God help us tonight, amen? And I should have known that this was going to happen as I was driving into Dallas. I mean, I should have known there was going to be a storm, amen? I should have known that things were going to get ugly. I mean, that's the way they've been playing ball the last few years. Things have been pretty ugly. And I should have just known that it was going to get bad. Amen? Well, it's getting a little loose in here tonight. Amen? But I should have known. But what I'm trying to say is that a storm was brewing up. And honestly, there was not really a good way to avoid it without going way down into Austin, Texas, and then probably into San Antonio. I don't like the Spurs either. I don't like what they did to the Phoenix Suns, so I don't want to go talk to them either. But I'm sitting here thinking, man, it's already a long journey. I don't really want to add about 400 miles just to avoid this storm. But you know what? I was still blessed. We were still blessed. We went through it. Amen. You just slow down a little bit. Find at one point we had to actually get off and stuff. But you're still blessed. So what are you saying, preacher? And I said, I'm very confident that you've been through some storms. I'm very confident that some of you even here tonight might be going through some storms. I heard an old preacher one time say that either you're in the middle of a storm or you just got out of a storm or you're getting ready to go into a storm. And that does tend to be the cycle of the Christian walk with the Lord. Amen? I mean, that there's mountains and there's valleys and there's ups and there's downs. And you would get down depressed into the dumps. And then the next day we might be excited about everything going on. And I understand those things. But despite the storms and despite the length of the journey, we were blessed. And that's who we are tonight. Now, there's some things that I want to share with you tonight that the Lord's put on our heart on the idea that it's been a long journey, but now the journey begins. And what I mean by that is simply this. We literally traveled that way to get here, to get to this moment tonight, to start our journey here in what the Lord has called us to do. But I want you to understand something, church. It's not just our journey. We are in this journey together. Amen. You get over to the book of Philippians and the Bible says striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I'm telling you what we need today is we need a church that will stand together no matter what's going on and what's happening in people's lives. And whether you like somebody or not is frankly irrelevant because the Bible commands you to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. I understand that you may not like somebody all the time, but you ought to love them. And what we need tonight, church, is a group of people that will say, hey, let's get in on this journey together, Pastor. Let's get in on this journey with those who are serving in the ministry. Let's get in on this journey and take up my cross and follow after Christ. What we need tonight is a group of people that will get excited about coming to the house of God and say, boy, I can't wait till church time tonight. Boy, I can't wait for time of prayer so I can hear the hearts of my brothers and sisters in Christ are, so I can take those requests and share those burdens and pray together. You know, the Bible says to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, if you think about that, dear friend, if you've got a burden on your heart, but yet you share that burden with your church family, kind of like we did tonight, now we've got several people going to the Lord and taking that burden to the Lord instead of just yourself. And that's part of what Bible-believing Christians do. So we're talking about tonight that journey. But as we get into what we're looking at tonight, there's some things that I have to get off of my chest and get off of my heart about this journey. Number one, if you're going to get on the journey, if you're going to be effective on the journey, if you're going to make progress on the journey, you know, you could get on the journey and not make any progress. You know, sometimes there's a misconception because the church is busy that we're doing a lot. Just because you're busy, even at the church, doesn't mean you're accomplishing anything. Amen. I mean, you could be on a rocking chair on a post, on a porch somewhere, rocking back and forth and making a lot of motion and making a lot of movement, but you're not making any progress. Amen. It's important to understand direction. We preached on some of that the other night at our original home church when we got saved at Sunday night. But what I'm trying to say is that it's important, church, to remember where you started. It's important to remember where you started. Every morning, I would tell my wife, I said, I want you to log this mileage. I want you to log this mileage. Every day that we started, I said, put this number down. I said, why is that? Because I like to know where we started. You see, when you know where you start, you know how far you've gone. And what we would do throughout the day, the kids would say, Daddy, how far have we drove today? And I would say, honey, take that number and subtract this number. That's 345. Man, we still got about 300 more to go today. Almost there for today. Amen? But you see, it's important to know where you start so you know how far you've gone. Say, where did it start for you, preacher? It started at Calvary. Amen? It started on the day that I got saved. Amen? It started on the day in July of 1992 when I went down to the altar, and it was about on a little over on this side of the pulpit, and the preacher had preached a message, and I was under conviction and realized that I was lost and without Christ in need of a Savior. And church, I came down to the altar and received Christ as my personal Savior. That's where my journey started. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat not against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know, part of the trouble that we have today is that we've left our first love. We lost that passion that we had for the things of God. Amen? We lost that zeal, that excitement that we had. And boy, we got saved and we were excited about what God was doing and what God had done in our lives. But somewhere along the way and somewhere along the journey, we lost that zeal and we lost that passion for God. It happens in our personal relationships too. It happens in our marriage, doesn't it? Amen. You know, we don't have time. That's not the message tonight, but we ought to always, always put special emphasis on our, not just our obvious number one, our relationship with Christ, but our relationship with our spouse. Do things there to keep the passion going. Spend time with each other. Invest in each other. And in fact, I was talking to somebody earlier. You know, the Bible says for the men to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. Now, I don't got time to expound on that scripture tonight, but you know what that means? That means that you know things about your wife that nobody else does. And gentlemen, if you don't know, you better get to knowing real quick. Come on, fellas, help me out a little bit tonight. Don't leave me out here all alone. I mean, I know I'm the only one on this platform, but help me out a little bit, amen? I'm going to have to move this because I'm going to do something silly, amen? But the Bible says, dwell with them according to knowledge. That's something special. That's a special relationship because you know things about your wife that nobody else does. So you know her likes and dislikes. By the way, that means you know which buttons to push and which buttons not to push. And this is just good biblical counsel right here. Don't push those wrong buttons. Amen? You know what? If I get around a refinery, we passed some refineries. And I'll tell you one thing I'm not going to do is I don't push any red buttons. Because red buttons, to me, go boom. And they do things that I don't want them to do. Some of the gas stations, they have these things that say emergency shut off valve. And I'm like, you know, the part of that kid in me wants to push it. But I'm worried about what kind of problems that's going to cause. So you don't push. Hey, just don't push them. If you don't know, It's better not to push him anyway, but especially if you don't know what's going to happen. But we lose zeal along the way. And the problem is because we stop putting the emphasis. Stop. Go back to when you were dating. Well, you'd drive 100 miles out of your way to spend time with your sweetheart. Now you won't hardly walk around the couch. To go by and do something special for your wife. You see, friend, it's important to remember where you started. If you're going to make progress on the journey, it does help you to know how far God's took you. So number one tonight, if we're going to make progress on this journey, if we're going to get in on this journey, it's important to remember where you started. Number two tonight, not just as important where you started, but it's important to remember where you came from. The psalmist said in Psalms chapter 40, verses 2 through 4, it says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Is there anybody here tonight that said, Preacher, when God reached down and picked me up, I was in a very, very dark place. I was in that horrible pit. I was in that miry muck and clay. I was just a mess, and God reached way down, and He had to reach way down to pick me up out of that. And the Bible says, the psalmist describes that He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. The psalmist goes on to say, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lying. Not only did He lift you up out of that place, that dark place, and out of a mess, and out of the hog pen of life, spiritually speaking, if you will, but then He got you established, set your feet upon the rock, and the Bible describes that rock was Christ, by the way. And then it says He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. You ever just get excited about a new song that come out? And boy, you just hear it, and boy, you just like that tune. Huh? It just resonates with you. Right? You come to church and you say, "What? I've never heard that song before, but I sure like it." And then you start to look it up, and then you'll start, this will happen, I promise. They'll message my wife, they'll say, "What was that song that you played? I never heard that before." And then they're looking it up on YouTube. Now you're listening to it all day long. You know what happened? The Lord just put a new song in your mouth. Now you're singing that song and praising the Lord. Isn't it good when the Lord does something like that? But you see, it's important not just to know where you started, but also to know where you came from. Now, one of them we can look at it in a geographical sense, like, okay, this was the progress that we're making. Spiritually speaking, you'll see, okay, this is where I was, but not just here's where I was in my life, but also all the things the Lord brought me out of. Is that true? Did not the Lord bring you out of some things? I know He did. You know, I appreciate the attitude that the Apostle Paul had. He was always He said, "I was the chiefest of sinners." And not what he said. He talked about himself being injurious and a blasphemer and a persecutor. I mean, this fellow put Christians to death. This fellow put Christians in jail. And Paul never forgot where he came from. In fact, he said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." He said, "You know what, folks? You know what, churches? I'm just telling you today that I wouldn't be here but for the grace of God." I mean, if that was a competition for being a good sinner, Paul says, that was me when he said I was the chiefest of sinners. In other words, he's not the best sinner there's ever been. Not in a good way. Friend, there's not any one of us here that could say, "It's not but by the grace of God that I'm here tonight. It's not but by the grace of God that God saved my soul. It's not by the grace of God that I'm able to come and worship and that I have a desire to come to the house of God and a hunger for the Word of God. It's but by the grace of God." That's true for me and it's true for you, friend. on this journey, it's important to remember where you started. It's important to remember where you came from. But you know what? It's also important to be thankful for who's with you. To be thankful for who is with you. Now, you know what? Let me just talk about that phrase, with you. We read in our text here that Abraham, and I haven't even got into here where I want to get. I'm having a good time tonight. I don't know about you all, amen. But the Bible says that Abraham went and took Lot, which was his nephew, and he went and took Sarah. And I believe it mentions, doesn't it mention all the souls that they had gained or got? That's a lot of people. Amen. Now, I think I might have mentioned last time that I was here that my original plan, notice that I said my, okay? My original plan when I left Chandler, Arizona in 2000 was to go back to Kentucky, go to Bible college, because I felt that's where the Lord wanted me to go to Bible college, finish my four-year theology, and then come back to Arizona. And was hoping the Lord would find a ministry for us to be here then. Now again, I said that was my plan. That was not the Lord's plan. 21 years later, okay? 21 years later is when I got the message, same message that God gave Abraham to me. Now, I may not have been worded the same, but you see, the Bible says, now the Lord, in verse 1, said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now, when I read that verse, kindred is like your family or close friends. We left a lot of loved ones behind. Now, they're not really behind, but you understand what I mean when I make a statement like that. It's not like we're never going to see them again. Amen? Most of the ones that I'm talking about are saved, so if I don't see them here, I'll see them there. Amen? We'll be reunited one day. Hopefully, Lord willing, it'll still be here on this earth, but you never know. We had a special service at my original home church. And we had about 93 people come to that service. And that does not count all the folks. You probably have seen us. We was always going out with somebody. I literally had to book it by the meal. Because people were saying, preacher, can we take your family out? Can we do this? Can we meet up? Can we do this? What a tremendous blessing to have so many loved ones. I guarantee you some of them are watching tonight. What a tremendous blessing to have so many loved ones care about you. So when God said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto land that I will show thee, it sounds good by what you read in the following verses that God says, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and everybody that blesses you, I'm going to bless them, and you're going to be a blessing to them as well, and all that's great. But it doesn't make it easy to leave a loved one behind. I'm talking about people that you love. I'm talking about people that you care for. I'm talking about people that you preached their family's funerals and married their children. I'm talking about people that you spent countless hours in the hospital with. I'm talking about somebody who I didn't know if his mom was going to make it, and I just had to get there, and I got to the parking and literally ran through the rest of the way to the emergency room trying to get to this fellow who needed us. Those are the kind of people that God said, get up and go to a land that I will show thee. Now, I understood the get up and go, and I understood the land, and thankfully, I believe in that particular moment, God was a little more specific with me. Now, He didn't have it all. I still don't know 100% where we're going to live. You know, there were some folks, and I know, I get what they're saying. See, preacher, you know, isn't that a sign the Lord don't want you to go? Well, you could look at it that way, or you could say it's a step of faith, whichever one you want to take. I personally think it's a step of faith. If God said, this is my will, He's not going to leave you without. Amen? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that when God said that to Abram, you think, well, man, that sounds good. It sounds like it's all going to be a good time. And it probably was for a little while. Oh, but you know what? Abram had rough days too. So it wasn't all. How did you describe? You literally said rainbows and cupcakes. It wasn't all rainbows and cupcakes. Amen. First of all, if it wasn't a hostess cupcake, it wasn't a cupcake. Okay? I mean, I like rainbows. I love to see God. By the way, that's God's. Amen. You know, the world is trying to overtake that, but the Lord created that. They try to change a couple of the things around, but, you know, that belongs to the Lord. And it's a reminder of the promises of God, and we're not ashamed of it. Amen. It's in the Scriptures. It belongs to God. Anyway, I don't even know how y'all got me on that. What I'm trying to say is I'm thankful for those that were with me. Now, they're not literally with me. They're watching. And they're praying. And some of them are probably going to go back and watch later. They said, preacher, what's your church page? How do we watch you? How do we get tuning in? They're with you. You see, folks, there's always going to be a group of people, even if it's not very much, that are with you. You may not think, you know, Elijah got himself in the same place. He said, Lord, you know, I'm going to have, he ran. He said, you know, there's an evil queen that wants to kill me, and nobody's with me. He forgot about the hundreds that God had set aside and said, no, you're wrong. There's a lot more with you than you think it's against you. You've got one that's against you that wants to kill you, and you ran because of her. Come on now. Now, I will tell you, that doesn't mean that everybody's with you. And I can accept that. I understand that not everybody is with us. Right? And that's okay too. Amen? That's fine. But I'm thankful for those that are with me. I'm thankful for those that are literally with me. I'm thankful my family's with me. But you know, most importantly, as Joshua, when he came and took over after Moses, and he sent Joshua there, and he said, Joshua, I will go with thee. So most importantly, I'm thankful that he's with me tonight, church. I'm thankful for those that are with me, for you that are here with us, but I'm mostly in our family, but I'm mostly thankful that he's with me tonight, amen. So we think about this journey. You think about, you have to remember where you came from. You have to remember where you started. You have to remember or be thankful for who's with you. But also you have to remember to be cautious along the way. I got to hurry. I realize tonight, I don't know, in Kentucky they dismiss on Wednesday night and eat bologna and crackers. I don't know what y'all do here yet, okay? Y'all, anybody do bologna and crackers? Vienna sausages? Okay, not that kind of, all right. Wrong message, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Fried bologna, there it is. Okay, now we'll see. That's how you build something. You know, you find, we can agree on fried bologna, amen. In fact, I can agree on just about anything that's fried. You fry a piece of cardboard the right way, I might take a bite out of it. When we're on the journey, we have to be cautious, church. You know, one of the things that I noticed as we were on this long journey, there's a lot of signs. And generally the signs were one of two things, most of the time. They were either cautioning you for something or giving you direction. For example, some might say, caution high winds. Y'all seen those big yellow ones? Sometimes they have you flashing things on them. In New Mexico, they like to tell you even how fast you need to go and all that kind of stuff. Amen. There's some that say rough roads ahead. In fact, there was one coming north out of Florence. I don't know if it's still there, but it said rough roads ahead. You know, by the way, when you think about it, wouldn't it be nice if you could live your life and a little sign would come up and you get to a certain stretch in your life and the sign would say, hey, caution, rough roads ahead. Doesn't always work that way, does it? So what it does mean is that we as a child of God always ought to be cautious. You know, the Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians, it says, see that you walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly simply means cautious. Right? In other words, as you're on this journey and you're walking along serving God, you need to be cautious on where you step and where you go. There was a lot of signs that said, hey, watch out, danger ahead. Watch out, accident ahead, 2.4 miles. Whatever the sign says, there's some that just was constantly warning you of potential danger. Then there's some that were given directions, said, hey, you know, El Paso, 75 miles, or Interstate 10 West, this lane. They gave you direction. But you know what we ought to do if we're going to make some progress in this journey together? Is you're going to have to be cautious, church, because you know what happens oftentimes? You do realize that when the devil and even any enemy, when they attack, they prefer to attack from within. Not so much from without. You know, if we get attacked from without, it seems easy to write them off because we say, hey, you know, we don't believe like they do. You know, they're of a different faith. You know, that's all right. But then, boy, when there's an attack on the inside, when there's trouble in the home, when there's trouble in the church, boy, those really seem to cause a lot of damage. And I've seen it, church, and it's sad and it's ugly. But you know what? Let me say this, and I got to move on. I got to find a place to quit here real quick. Always keep your eyes on Christ. Psalms 118a says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Because man, I promise you, will disappoint you. If you're around me long enough, I will offend you. Now, I won't do it intentionally. But there's a good chance that I will offend you for something that I say, something I preach, something in general conversation. I promise you, church, with all my heart, it's not my intention to ever do that. But sometimes it does happen. But oh, friend, but if you keep your eyes on Christ, He will not disappoint you. He will not let you down. He will not fail you. He'll always be faithful. Be cautious along the way. Last thing I want to mention. We've talked about remembering where we started, remembering where God brought, or don't forget where God brought us from. Be thankful to those that are with you. Be cautious along the way, but then also I want to proclaim tonight, church, that I'm excited for where I'm going. You know, Christ told His disciples to follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I find that verse very interesting. I'm going to share one scripture, and I promise I'm about through. I find that verse interesting because he was talking to fishermen amongst the group. And essentially what he said, is, man, I'd like to take you on a journey with Me. And the journey that I want to take you on, he didn't say, I want to make great theologians of you. Do you realize that Christ never taught His disciples how to preach? I believe He let the Holy Spirit do that. Now, it's good to study homiletics, which is, you know, the art of preaching, speaking, and hermeneutics, the study of interpretation. Oh, that's great. That's fine. But you know what? He said, follow Me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, when you make a statement to like that to a fisherman, that's got to really resonate with them. It's kind of like if I go to my doctor and say, hey, doctor, can I introduce you to the great physician? Now, he's a physician. And who's this guy going to say, I want to introduce you to the best physician there is? That's Christ. That's God Himself. Even if they don't like it, or it's going to make an impression on them. So when Christ made the statement, follow Me, and I'll make you fishers of men, to fishermen, it made an impression. The other thing that I'm fascinated about that scripture is that when you follow Christ, you're a fisher of men. Do you know what a fisher of men is? That's a soul winner. That's one who cares about souls. Now, this is just a question, something I want to ask you. So by that definition, when Christ said, follow Me and I'll make you a fisher of men, does that mean that if you're following Christ, you're a fisher of men? Does that mean that if you're not a fisher of men, you're not following Christ? Now, I'm just telling you what Jesus said. I'll let you come to your own conclusion on that one, church. What I'm telling you is that I'm excited about where I'm going. So which way are you going, preacher? It's really, really simple. People ask all the time, what direction are you taking the church? It's not hard. I'm going to tell you right now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul told the church, be ye followers of Me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul was not saying, follow me. He was saying, let's follow after Christ. He's saying, hey, I'm going after Christ. He's that way. So follow me, and I'll just take you to Christ. We'll just go the way Christ is going. He wasn't saying, this is the way I'm going, so don't be careful. He's saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Because I'm going the way that Jesus is going. And if you want to go with me, then we're going that way. Because that's where Jesus is. So he said, what are you excited about this journey that you become here, that you started tonight at Florence Baptist Church? It's not complicated, church. I'm going the way Jesus is going. And if you want to serve together and strive together and build together, then let's all go the way that Jesus is going tonight. Because I've always come to find out the way he's going, and if we follow his way, it's always the best. We try to get off on our own way and say, hey, Lord, hang on, I'm going to take just a little pit stop over here. Hang on just a second, Lord, I see something over here I need to do. That's when we get ourselves in trouble, church. Why don't you follow me as I follow Christ, just like Paul said? And it's not because I'm the best one to follow. It's just because I have a desire to follow Christ, and I want you to follow together with us. Church, the journey is just beginning. The journey is just beginning. I believe it's Psalm 133:1. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that's our desire tonight, church. Won't you stand to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed? Ask my wife if she'll come to the piano. I can't tell you how excited I am to begin this journey with you, church. It's not my journey. It's our journey with Christ. It's the journey that he set us on. But I want to tell you, church, what we need as she plays softly. What we need tonight, church, and I'm not saying you're not united, but more than ever, we need a church that will strive together. You know that word strive means in times of contention. In hard times. And I realize, and I'm very well aware of the fact that the church has had a difficult year. He lost a wonderful, wonderful pastor. And the more I learn about him, the more I wish I could have known him personally. But I'm glad one day I will. I can't do everything that he did. God's made me who I am. God's made him who he was. But he left a tremendous legacy. And the Lord took him home. We don't always understand why, but the Lord took him home. He was ready for him to come home. Had a fire. Dealt with this whole COVID thing. And I'm not trying to make fun of it. I'm not trying to play it down. It's been tough. I realize it's been, put it this way, no matter how you look at it, it's affected the church. We can agree that it's affected the church and it's affected our economy, it's affected the way we live. It's been tough. It's been a tough journey. Let's start tonight. Let's get in on this journey together. Let's say, hey, we're going to follow after Christ. We're not following a preacher. We're following Christ is actually who we're following. Now, he may be out in front just a little bit, but we're following Christ. Maybe tonight, church, I don't know. I honestly don't know how you're used to doing things, but I like to invite folks to come down to the altar to pray. Or maybe you can kneel where you are now and pray and make a commitment to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to get in on this journey to follow you. Lord, would you help me get in on the journey? Father, Lord, there's many things that are in my life that have been distractions, and maybe, frankly, sometimes we could even say some things in our life that we made excuses about. But starting tonight, I'm going to make a commitment to get in on this journey because God's doing something special. God's doing something great. And it's been a tough road. And there's been some hard days. And there's been a lot of shed tears. Oh, but it wasn't in vain, because the church is still here and God wants it to move forward for the glory of God. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to know that God loves you, dear friend. He died on the cross for your sin, the Scripture says, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I don't know anybody who would die for you like that. Now, friend, I'd take a bullet for my children. I'd take a bullet for my wife, but you know, I can't be an atonement for their sin. I can't take their punishment. You know, it'd break my heart if one of my boys did something out to do a crime that would sentence them to prison for a long time. But you know, church, it would do no good for me to show up at court and say, Judge, no, don't send them to jail, send me. It's not going to happen. I don't know anybody who could take your debt upon himself and take your sin upon him and be the blood sacrifice and be your atonement, be your redeemer. That's who Jesus was. And if you've never been saved by the grace of God, and all I simply mean by that, friend, if you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, I want you to know that God loves you and He wants to save you. If that's you tonight, we want to help you. Come down to the altar. We'll be happy to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. If you're watching via live stream, get a hold of us. We'll drop everything that we're doing to try to guide you to the Savior. How about you tonight? How about you tonight, friend? God's spoken to your heart. God's spoken to your heart. I believe that God is speaking to some hearts. I can see the tenderness. I can see it. I can see that even some under conviction tonight. And I understand that. All I want to do is encourage you tonight, friend. Just get in on it. Just get in on it. Some folks are still praying. Maybe you'll just pray at where you stand. Maybe you have something else heavy on your heart. I'm glad the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He also said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Whatever your need is tonight, even if it's nothing that we even came close to speaking about tonight, He loves you, friend. Take it to Calvary. How about you, friend? How about you? Church, go ahead and be seated for just a moment. I want to say thank you again. I say that a lot. It's because I want to have a thankful heart. Thank you for your support. Thank you for everything already. Thank you for being here. It means so much to me to see such a good crowd here tonight on Wednesday night service. And I know sometimes it's tough to get here on Wednesdays. I work too. I understand. I've been there. I've kind of been on both sides of that. But thank you for being here tonight. We're going to have a word of prayer and to be dismissed. Just so you all know, it's been so busy. That's an understatement, honestly, especially since we left here between getting our house ready to sell, moving, packing, moving things here, moving back and forth, staying in, you know, small places, moving here, moving there. We've been so busy. One thing I don't want to do, church, is neglect my children and my family. So the next couple days, we're going to really put an emphasis on just spending some time with them. You know, Monday we start our new position, obviously not just here, but with our job. And so we want to take the next couple days and do that. So that doesn't mean I don't want to hear from you. That doesn't mean I don't want to talk to you. Just let you know what we're doing. Pray for us and pray for our family. We need it. And we'll certainly continue to pray for you. Take these prayer requests home and pray over them. And I think it'll be pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Brother Tuck, would you mind, brother, would you dismiss us in the Lord of prayer, please?